Welcome to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness, American Readiness Program. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our new listeners to the show and let you know what you're in for. Common Sense Preparedness was designed to give the American public the much-needed information on how to manage and respond to any type of disaster we might face, natural, man-made, or personal. We will not tell you who to vote for or when the world is going to end, but we will get you ready to face that if it does happen. We will talk about first aid, CPR, tornadoes, earthquakes, how to prepare a family emergency plan, how to develop an emergency communication plan, how to hunt, how to fish, how to make a fire. This show will be hosted by myself, Tim Howard, and various guests from around the world who will share their information and their experiences with us. My credentials? They're pretty extensive, with over 25 years field experience as a chemical biological warfare instructor, a firefighter, an area safety manager, a safety inspector. I have been associated with various federal, state, and local governments. Currently, I'm associated with the FEMA Think Tank, OSHA Field Councils, and I am your host for the show. Before we go any further, any information that you hear on this program or find on HESafety.org or the radio website at csp.hesafety.org is to be taken as informational only. We are not legal or medical advisors. We are here to get you to think about things and get you to do your own research. Talk with your professional legal and medical advisors. Because in the end, it's all common sense anyway, which you have. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to the show. Common Sense Preparedness website, csp.hesafety.org, has been designed to give you more information about subjects than we can give you in a single broadcast. The website is free, so come on by and begin your research with Common Sense Preparedness. You can also listen or download previous shows via the website. I do ask you to sign up, though. Reason being, it's just so I can judge how well the show is doing. Also, please, show some love to our sponsors. They're the ones that keep the show and the websites free of charge. At the end of the day, it all comes down to this: how many lives we save. It is sad to hear of any life being lost when it was avoidable. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune into Common Sense Preparedness at csp.hesafety.org.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness with your host, Megan Bob.
Welcome to Common Sense Preparedness Weekly Situation Report for the week of April 22nd, 2012. Let's go ahead and get into our environmental report. The U.S. Radiation Monitor Network looks normal. We have hired a normal background radiation level in Los Angeles. Our river report, looking good, nothing to report. Air quality, we're having some poor air quality reports out of New Jersey and Pennsylvania, the Philadelphia area, to be more precise. Our drought report, Texas, Georgia, and Arizona are reporting exceptional drought conditions, while Florida, South Carolina, New Mexico, and Alabama are reporting extreme drought conditions. Now, going on to our food safety report, food safety alert for anytime sub sandwiches for listeria. We have an alert for botulism in Minnesota for a fish recall. And a food safety update: the salmonella sushi outbreak has affected 112 people in the hospital. The E. coli test spurred a recall of tenderized beef in Maine. And we have an outbreak alert. The Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services has learned of 5 cases of E. coli infections in central Missouri that have occurred in late March and early April. A 2-year-old child and a 17-month-old child has developed other symptoms as a result of their infections. The source of the infections have not yet been identified, and is unclear from the health advisory whether or not all 5 cases are related. We have a food safety recall. Dole fresh vegetables are recalling Dole's 7 lettuce salads, and that is due for salmonella. Another alert update in Oregon: The Oregon Health Authority has recovered E. coli from samples taken in the Founder Farms cows, manure and services, as well as their raw milk obtained from the customer in dairy farm. So we have an E. coli outbreak in that area. Club Chef's recalls for salmonella in the Midwest. We have a Private Selection, which is a Kroger brand, salmonella recall for the Midwest. Sysco Prime Rib Beef Patties, E. coli, outbreak in Arizona, Colorado, Texas, and Washington. Another outbreak alert, the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, is reporting 3 overlapping multi-state outbreaks of salmonella infections linked to exposure to small turtles and their environment. 66 people in 16 states have been infected with one of the outbreak strains since September 2011. 11 people were hospitalized. 55% of the confirmed victims are children 10 years old or younger. Now, our Homeland Security report, there is nothing to report for this week. However, if you go over to Common Sense Preparedness Homeland Security report, you'll find links to websites where you can find information on the Afghan War Report, Border Wars Report, the latest news, and the U.S. gang activities. Now, for our hurricane report, hurricane season is May 15th until November 30th, so we must start preparing and start looking at what we need to do for hurricane season. Our medical report, we still have a whooping cough outbreak nationwide. We have a medical alert for Rocky Mountain spotted fever in Arizona. Skin lotions is tainted with some mercury, so we have to be worried about that. And we still have a drug-resistant malaria in Southeast Asia. The hand, foot, and mouth disease is now nationwide, and this predominantly affects children under 5 years of age. Our influenza report, according to this week's Flu View, while flu activity is low nationwide and declining, sporadic influenza activity continues in the United States. The proportion of outpatient visits with influenza-like illnesses is elevated in one region of the country, and influenza activity remains widespread in 6 states. The season began late and has been relatively mild so far, but influenza activity may continue for weeks to come. Common Sense Preparedness would like to remind you the best way to prevent the flu this season is to wash your hands as often as possible, and do not put your hands by your face. Check our webpage out at csp.hesafety.org for more flu prevention treatments and prevention. Now, our seismic report, there's been 7,030 recordable seismic events in the past 30 days. We had a 7.0 earthquake in Papua New Guinea and a 6.2 in the Antarctica. Our New England region is showing nothing to report, same with the Mid-Atlantic region. The Caribbean region, Puerto Rico, had a 3.9. Midwest region, Oklahoma, had a 3.9. Yellowstone region, Montana, had a 2.1. Rocky Mountain region, Utah, had a 2.9. The Northwest region, Oregon, had a 3.2. And the Ring of Fire, California, had a 4.1, Alaska, 4.5, and Hawaii, a 3.0. Now, our volcanic report, we had two alerts issued this week, one in Russia and one in Mexico. We do have a lot of volcanoes in the Ring of Fire area, and they are active. Now, our solar weather report, on April 18th and 19th, a series of minor CMEs puffed away from the sun. 3 of them are heading in our general direction. According to forecast, the clouds are going to hit Mercury, Earth, Mars, and the rover Curiosity while it's en route to Mars. The impact on our planet on April 22nd around 1 a.m. Universal Time is expected to be minor and auroras likely only at higher latitudes. Our X-ray levels are at a C3. Our K-index is at 3, X-class flares is at 1%, M-class flares are 30%, and our geomagnetic storms, 20 to 35% chance of storms this week. As for our near-Earth objects, or NEOs, we have 1,287 NEOs in the area. April 28th, NEO 2012 HM should come within 1.4 lunar distance of Earth with a size of 73 meters. May 19th, NEO 2010 KK37 should come within 2.3 lunar distance of Earth with a size of 31 meters. Well, that about does it for this week's Common Sense Preparedness Emergency Situation Report. If you'd like any more information on any of the items in this report, please visit csp.hesafety.org. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America is known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug-out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. So prepare now for the future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701. I got a chance the other day to take a look at the 7-day, 2-person emergency kit from Health Operations Team. This kit is a great basic starter kit. While it does not contain all the emergency supplies that you'll need during a prolonged disaster, it has enough supplies to ensure that you will survive any 7-day disaster. That's why it's called a basic starter kit. The first thing I noticed was the versatility of the bag. It can be used as a backpack, carried by the handle, by the shoulder strap. It even has wheels on it, so if you need to roll it, you can. The food package and water supplies make the kit kind of heavy, but these are basic requirements, and there's no way of getting around this weight. That's one of the reasons physical conditioning is a requirement in any kind of preparedness plan. Now, everything in the kit is stored in plastic Ziploc bags for weatherproofing protection. First idea I got in my head was, it showed me that I can use it, this weatherproofing idea, for other items. I mean, even a radio came in a plastic bag. The kit comes with a standard first aid kit, hygiene products, rain ponchos, light sticks, rope, and even a pry bar, just to name a few items in the bag. So it has a lot of equipment in there that you do need, some basic equipment. You're going to want to modify it to your family's needs. If your family needs medication, you may want to put the family medication in there, extra eyeglasses and such. Health Operations Team has a complete listing of all the items contained in the kit on their website at hoteam.org. Now, the price on the kit is unbeatable, $130, while all other outlets charge a minimum of $199-$200 for similar kits. Health Operations Team is offering these kits at cost with zero profit margin. What a deal. But what I want to remind you is Health Operations is a nonprofit organization. If you can show them any kind of love, please do so. Even if it's a dollar, they need the help. They need the money. So they can go ahead and give these kits to people who are in need, who really need them. Now, some of the items in the kit that I would recommend to change, one would be the radio and the flashlight. Both of them are items that use batteries to operate with. I would exchange them for solar hand-cranked items. I mean, there's no reason to carry the extra weight of the batteries. There's nowhere to recharge them or anything like that. They're good for the home cache, but if you have to use it as a bug-out bag, I'd have solar equipment with me. Now, the coloring book and crayons, that's another thing I'd probably be changing. Now, if you have a kid that's less than 5, it's a great distraction for them. For the older kids, this is where we want to customize the bag for ourselves. We have older kids, we want to put some other stuff in there. However, it does have a deck of cards for adult distractions. Both the food packs and the water packs are edible, trust me. Now, granted, I'm a very picky eater. It's not my preferred food of choice, but in an emergency, well, I know I can eat them and get my calories that I need. They are edible. Overall, I was pleased with the starter kit. The price was great, and it'll get you through any type of emergency. So I'm recommending that if you need a kit, contact hoteam.org, and they will be able to get you one. Now, they have a special price program available for disadvantaged and the elderly. So when you talk to them, let them know what you're doing and who you are, and that you heard it on the radio show, and see if you qualify for a discounted program. But even if you don't qualify, it's still a bargain at $130. So contact Health Operations Team at www.hoteam.org. Or you can call their Georgia phone number at 678-431-8914. Once again, that number is 678-431-8914. You're listening to HE Safety's Common Sense Compassion American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com. Alright, I want to take a little time and talk about disaster preparedness training. All the planning and all the supplies in the world means absolutely nothing in an emergency situation if you do not train with your equipment and have knowledge of it. Training is one of the things most people do not like to do. They find it boring, a waste of time, or they're just very uneasy about it. The fact is a very simple one. Training is one of the most important things you have to do, and it should be part of your emergency planning. The reason that training is so important is because there is one fact of life that is so true. I'm not a betting man, but I would bet my bottom dollar on this one fact. When a person gets into a high-stress situation or panics, they do not think, they react. A person only reacts to what they've been trained to react to. A good example is this. When you hear a fire alarm, no matter where you're at, you automatically begin to walk to the nearest exit, just like you were trained to do in schools. Military training is based on this principle. Train, 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 and more train. Because when you get into a combat situation, all thinking goes out the window and your training kicks in. That's because your mind is in a panic. So we now need to take a look at how to train, when and where to train, and who to train. We also need to take a look at some training aids that can help us get our job done. You must ask yourself, what black swan event can you be forced to face? And what equipment do I need to use to help me get through this event? All the equipment in the world can be useless if you do not know how to use it. So the best thing to do here is use it. Become familiar with it, and then maybe it will serve you well. So do you think all those marksmen got to be efficient at shooting just by reading about it? No. They spent countless hours practicing with their own weapons and made a lot of mistakes along the way. Does a pilot know how to fly just because he's reading about it and studying about it? No. He spent countless hours in the simulator, and then years as a co-pilot before he is given a wheel. So, some of the things you must begin to practice. how to build a shelter out of a tarp, how to put up a tent, how to hunt, how to fish, how to make a trap, fire making, first aid, navigations, firearms, stuff like this. Now, this is not a complete list by no means, but it'll get you thinking about what equipment you have and how to start using it. Training does not take a lot of money or a lot of expertise in order to get it accomplished. There are some very ingenious ways of training. You just have to think about things outside the box. Think about it outside the box. Camping trips, nature hikes, Sunday drives are all ideas that can be used as part of your training program. On a camping trip, pull out some equipment and start using it. Nature hikes, how do you navigate? Stuff like that. Now, when to train? Well, this is an easy one to answer. All the time. Any and every chance you get. Go camping or hunting as much as possible. Try navigating on foot. When you're hiking or taking a nature walk, how are you going to mark your path? How are you going to find your way back? Point being is, you can conduct training exercises almost everywhere and at any time. Now, where to train at? Well, training must be conducted where the Black Swan event might take place. At home, in the office, or in the field. Camping is a great time to do some field training. Next time you go camping, try and make a Dakota fire pit, or even a camp broom. The kids love the camp broom exercise. Then they get to sweep up the campsite with the broom that they've made, and you get to see how long it lasts. Office training, well, that should be conducted by your employer when they do the fire drills. However, I would make sure I develop a secondary exit plan. You see, during 9/11, a lot of people lost their lives because the primary exit was blocked, and they had no idea how to egress the building any other way. So make a secondary escape route in case something goes wrong. Home training. Here you go. Here you would be conducting fire drills or shelter-in-place drills. Come home one day and yell, fire, fire, and see what happens. Well, actually, see what does not happen. What does not happen is where you need to begin to train on. And don't be embarrassed by the outcome of the first few fire drills. Nothing could be worse than my first fire drill. I came home and yelled fire, and then waited. My wife walked past me and asked me if I had said something. My children didn't even look up from the TV, and their response was, Dad, you been drinking today? So, the next day, I came home and pulled a power outage drill on them. I went straight from the car to the main power panel and tripped the main breaker of the house. I then put a padlock on it and walked inside. First thing out of my mouth was, sorry, I forgot to pay the electric bill, and I won't be able to pay for it until Monday. The kids got a little grumpy when the TVs went off, and then when the laptops ran out of battery juice. But then they thought it was cool that we broke out the hurricane lamps and got the Monopoly game out. I only ran a drill for about 3 hours, and then they got extremely happy when the power came mysteriously back on. I didn't want to lose the food in the refrigerator or freezer over the drill, so after 3 hours, I put the power back on. But my point was made. I then followed up with dinner questions for weeks later on. What would you do in case of? Now when the power even flickers, the kids already know. Fill the bathtubs up, get the hurricane lamps out, and instead of playing Monopoly nowadays, they want to play cards like real grown-ups. But the point being, it was a perfect drill to drill the family. Didn't cost me a dime, except a few hours of my time. So you can train everywhere and all the time. Now, who are you going to train? Well, another simple question. Everyone in your group. Remember, this includes you. If you are going to be part of your group, that is. A little note here about training yourself. You must be able to take an honest look at yourself and discover your weaknesses. Don't be given the I am perfect routine here. This will only come back and hurt you and your family one day. You must be honest and accept your shortcomings. We all have them. This way, now is the time to identify them and begin to strengthen them. Mine, it was first aid. So I became a firefighter and CPR instructor. Now I feel extremely comfortable giving first aid. And I am sure that in any Black Swan event, I'd be able to handle it. My new weakness? Well, it's trying to grow something. So point here is, every member of your group must ask themselves and then begin to work on a particular weakness. You will be amazed at how one person's weakness is another person's strength. Team them up and begin to improve those areas. There is plenty of outside avenues for training also, if you're willing to become a volunteer. Almost everybody's willing to take on a volunteer or two. So it's also good to note here that a person with a disability will become a liability in an emergency unless they are well trained and educated on emergency matters. Their wisdom now becomes an asset to the group. A person in a wheelchair can be a very effective lookout and mentor in regards to survival situations if they are trained and they have experience as a volunteer. Now, some training aids. Go ahead and visit csp.hesafety.org for more entailed training aids. But some of them that we do have listed are common basic navigational and compass skills, common basic first aid skills, some group training aids, common basic wilderness survival and evasion skills, observation tests from Boy Scouts, camping test, orientation test, signalization test, first aid test, pioneer test, memory game, observation games, watcher test. There's a whole bunch of stuff on our website that you can use and modify for yourself and your group. Also, a good note here about group training. A group that trains together will know what each other will do in certain environments, and in this way, these skills will be integrated into the group. This also builds confidence on a personal and group level, so it's great to train as a group.
You're listening to AG Safety's Common Sense Protection American Readiness Program, right here on bbsradio.com.
I want to take this opportunity to announce that Arizona is going to have its first annual Survivalist Show. On May 19th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show will be held at the Commemorative Air Force Museum in Mesa, Arizona, in Falcon Field. All proceeds will go to the nonprofit museum. The show is open to anyone interested in the prepper movement that is sweeping across the United States. Come out and buy some items from many of Arizona's vendors. Visit with experts. Meet other like-minded citizens that are equally interested in helping protect themselves and their families from any unexpected event. This unique one-day show is a must-attend event for the entire family. Not only do you get the experience of the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show, but you will also see Arizona's premier working vintage aircraft. Vendors will be displaying and selling the following: freeze-dried foods, MREs, ideas on food availability at any grocery store, canning equipment and supplies, storage options, water barrels, food-grade buckets, military surplus equipment, clothing, camping equipment, survival gardening seed supplies, ideas, bug-out bags, suggestions and supplies, solar ovens, solar kits, and solar ideas. There will also be educational seminars, books, manuals, and literature, emergency medical equipment and first aid supplies, fuel storage and battery supplies and ideas, propane cooking equipment, utensils, etc., water filtration equipment and supplies, plus many other items of interest. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Radio Talk Show will be recording a broadcast while the event is on, and we will be conducting interviews with people for the show. Come join us for a guaranteed fun time. Admission to the event is $10 per adult and $5 per child at the door. And the children under 5, they're free of charge. For more information, please contact Lance Baker at 480-229-5691. Once again, that number is 480-229-5691. Or email him at lancebaker1964@gmail.com. Once again, that's lancebaker1964@gmail.com. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hotteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems. Rocky Mountain Survival Gear is now the sole U.S. distributor of Pure Hydration Water Purification Systems, which uses no chemicals, has no wait time, and can be filled from any natural water source. The purifier eliminates pathogens, viruses, bacteria, chemicals, heavy metals, fecal matter, sediment, bad taste, and odors, and quickly turns potentially contaminated water into safe and clean drinking water. Pure Hydration offers their purifiers in 6 different personal carrier modules for every outdoor endeavor. For more information, contact Rocky Mountain Survival Gear at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that number is 720-244-9701.
Hey, I want to take this opportunity to talk about the Responder 84 ALS backpack from 511 Tactical. Now, when I first saw this backpack, it was during tornado recovery operations in Kentucky earlier this year. I was immediately impressed when I saw all the equipment the medic had in his backpack. He even had an O2 bottle, and it was secured well to the inside of the backpack. When the medic opened up this ALS-84 backpack, I noticed that he had every type of trauma equipment that he was going to need, including neck braces, an O2 kit, an AED, a smaller bag containing medicine and syringes, and another one containing bandages and clot stoppers. The medic even had a portable air splint system in his backpack. Now, they are large. There was also enough room to contain all this guy's paperwork that he needed. The medic explained to me that he had been using the backpack for a few months now, and he said it was the greatest thing since sliced bread in the border field medic. He told me it was easy to carry and has large enough compartments to hold the basic equipment he needed in the field to handle almost every type of emergency he would face. Now, my idea for the bag, when I saw it, was a little bit different than his. With that much room, I figured, not only would it be able to handle my family medical kit, which is extensive, but there'd be enough room for my bug-out equipment also, reducing my overall number of bags I would need to carry. So when I got my Responder 84 ALS backpack from 511 Tactical, I immediately loaded it up with all the stuff I had and took it on a test run. I bugged out to one of my family's retreat points for 3 days. The bag was able to handle the heavy load I placed into it, including food rations, a water pack, solar blankets, an emergency radio, solar lantern, a pry bar, tarp, fire starter kit, military rain gear, military jacket, and my essential jerky and candy stash. I was even able to place my family emergency manual in the top layer compartment. To my surprise, after all this, I still had room. So in went the gun cleaning kit, the trauma kit, a shovel, a mess kit, a two-man tent, and my navigational pack. Then, on the outside, I attached my machete, a CPR kit, a small fishing tackle bag, and my trusty old sleeping bag. That is when I hit my first problem with the backpack. I still had room, and no more equipment. Good problem to have. So then I placed it on my back and automatically felt the weight distribution on my shoulders and my upper back. It was actually comfortable. When I got to the retreat area, I unloaded what I had needed in order to eat and set up camp. Now, after dinner, I laid down in my tent for a few minutes because, you know, I'm not as young as I once was, and I started to listen to the music of nature. The next thing I knew, it was getting extremely cold outside, so I jumped into my sleeping bag and fell right asleep. I awoke in the morning to a snow-covered campsite. I was not prepared for that, not at all. I went to grab my field jacket and realized that my backpack was not with me in the tent. I had left it outside. Oh, boy. My 3-day trek was now down to 12 hours. Now, if my jacket and my extra clothing in the backpack are wet, well, I just have to return home early. However, to my surprise, after brushing off the snow, all the contents in the bag were dry as a bone. And that included my printed family emergency plan. The ALS-84 backpack system from 511 Tactical saved the trip. I was able to get the fire starter kit out and make a hot cup of coffee. The versatility of the backpack and the amount of equipment it was able to handle made me an avid believer. It can be used as a professional medical response kit or a bug-out kit. The overall 3,941 cubic inches can handle most equipment, and the YKK zipper system on the bag is a great improvement over the old zipper system that would always get stuck and eventually break. Another item of this backpack that I found interesting was the see-through zipper mesh pockets on the inside of the bag. It is of great value when you're not sure where your items are stored. A quick glance, and you know where your equipment is without having to open up each pouch to find out where they're at. The removable kit system, blue and red bags, is useful for storing small items and keeping them separate from the rest of your gear. I was able to store a med kit in one, making it readily available if I needed it. I also found a Velcro inside the pack to be useful for attaching my mag light holder and a few of the other belt pouches that had Velcro on them. This way I was able to have my pandemic kit secured without having to search for it. Overall, I found the Responder 84 ALS backpack to be a great addition for $249.99 because it is large enough to turn two bags into one. With each bag costing about $150 each, you end up about $50 ahead of the game. For more information on the Responder 84 ALS backpack, come visit csp.hesafety.org. Now here's the newest song from Matt Fitzgibbon to PatriotMusic.com.
It comes with every walk of life, from the homeless to a prince. They say it's been a long, long time that we haven't earned it since. It guides the heart, fills the soul, it teaches to be true. Are not like laws, they can change or just ignore. They're to claim by every soul, like so many did before. I can see it in your eyes, it depends on what you do. They can't take that away from you. No, 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 no. Anytime we cower, we grant them one more power to take more. We'll be right back.
Okay, let me take a moment here and talk about disaster preparedness for people with disabilities. You know, disabled Americans are mostly forgotten during a disaster. But as most Americans become more and more disabled, the tremendous task of emergency planning for the disabled is becoming more and more the focal point of discussions. Now remember, a person with a disability can be almost anybody. Physical, medical, sensory, or mental problems are all classified as disability. Take a look at your own family group. Have you planned to bug out with Grandma, who needs that wheelchair? Or what about crazy old Uncle Bill, who hates closed spaces? Well, that rules out any type of underground bunker for him, unless you're willing to sedate him the whole entire time of the Black Swan event. Not probably an option. A disabled person is an asset to almost any group. They can be the one who is the lookout at camp, help prepare the food, and their knowledge, especially the elderly people, is of tremendous value during an emergency. Almost all disabled people can be a great communication point of contact. Their job is to either make or monitor communications continuously. Being prepared for emergencies can reduce the fear, panic, and inconvenience that surrounds a disaster. This will also reduce the risk of death. However, there are some special things we need to consider. Does this handicap person require electricity to run a ventilator? Does this person require special equipment to walk? Or does it need to be charged? None of these obstacles are insurmountable. They just need to be planned for. One of the basic items in a disabled person's emergency plan should be the pre-notification to local emergency services of the person's condition. This will place them, the disabled person, on top of the list to receive emergency care once rescue operations can get to them. Until then, though, the person must maintain stability for themselves. If your plan calls for shelter in place, is the home been modified to sustain the disabled persons during long periods of no power? Check for hazards in the home. During and right after a disaster, ordinary items in a home can cause injury or damage. Anything that can move, fall, break, or cause fire is a home hazard. Check for items such as bookcases, hanging pictures, and overhead lights that could fall in an earthquake or a flood and block the escape path. The disabled person must be ready to evacuate, have a plan for getting out of his home or building, have friends or family waiting for assistance if that is required. Also, plan 2 evacuation routes because some of the roads are going to be closed or blocked in a disaster. Now, the bug-out bag for a disabled person, that should contain a personal pack. This pack should be given to the disabled person during the disaster, and it should contain, at a minimum, a flashlight, a cell phone, and a communication card. Now, the flashlight would be used to signal where the person is during an emergency. The cell phone can be used to text communication for help and other group members. And the communication card should contain information about the person's disability and medication and equipment. The card might also say, "Hey, I cannot read," or "I can communicate using an assistive communication device. I can point to simple pictures or keywords which you will find in my wallet or emergency supply kit." Or it might say, "I may have a difficulty understanding what you're telling me. Please speak slowly and use simple language." Or, "I forget easily. Please write down information for me." I know a lot of people that one was good for. The point is, you know, the first time I saw this was back in the 80s when I was in Japan. And a Japanese person came to my door, and he was a door-to-door salesman. He was selling paintings that he did. In his spare time, he would paint. And his idea was to sell his paintings. He was a deaf mute. So he knocked on the door and handed me a card. I read the card saying, "Hey, I'm a deaf mute. I do paintings for a living, trying to make a living. Would you care to sell it?" He beat me out of $250. It was such a good idea, and he was trying to make a living. So the idea works here. Have an identification card, something they can hand to somebody and say, "Hey, this is my problem." Most people will help you at that point. And one last thing about emergency planning for disabled. Remember to service animals in your disaster planning. If a service animal is required, you will need to plan for their food and water consumption also. So that must be taken into consideration when you develop your emergency plan. In your group, if you're going to have a disabled person in your group, you must plan for that. Your emergency disaster plan needs to involve that disabled person and his special requirements. Now, if you want more information on this, go visit csp.hesafety.org. We do have some reference books that are downloadable, and they go into more detail than we have in this broadcast. You're listening to AG Safety Common Sense Society, American Radio Program, right here on bbsradio.com. This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Health Operation Team, preparing one person, one community, one country at a time, providing awareness, education, training, resources, and medical support, health care, and emergency preparedness planning, both domestic and international. Please go to their website at www.hoteam.org, hatteam.org, and see where they have been, where they are, and where they're going. Or give them a call at 678-431-8914. Once again, that is 678-431-8914. And let them know you heard it on Common Sense Preparedness. Also, follow them on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. That's hotteam.org, your source for helping individuals, families, businesses, and communities be safer and healthier.
Emergencies happen every day. Are you prepared for a crisis? HE Safety can help. Together we'll prepare for natural and man-made disasters, medical emergencies, extreme weather, and other safety-related issues. It all happens on the Common Sense Preparedness Show, hosted by Tim Howard of HE Safety Consultants.
Common Sense Preparedness would like to announce our new Emergency Information Network is on our website. Here you'll find the latest news regarding food safety, emergency news, FEMA daily reports, medical alerts, solar weather alerts, and hurricane reports. Plus you'll find links to outbreak databases, near-Earth objects, solar flares, and information from government and non-government outlets. Come join us at csp.hesafety.org and take a look at our new Emergency Information Network. Remember, a wise man prepares for darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Listen to Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program at csp.hesafety.org. Or follow us on Google Plus and Facebook. Common Sense Preparedness brought to you in part by PatriotMusic.com.
America has known the world over for its passion for freedom and individual rights. If you love your country as much as I do, and if you'd like to hear great music inspiring this passion, check out PatriotMusic.com. Download music from three great albums, including a new album just released, with a cover you won't forget. PatriotMusic.com.
Hi, this is Matt Fitzgibbons with PatriotMusic.com. You're listening to Common Sense Preparedness with Tim Howard.
The other day I was able to evaluate the Rush Moab 10 pack from 511 Tactical. And I must admit, I was very impressed with it. The first thing I noticed was how versatile the pack was. Now me, being a right-handed individual, could use it comfortably. And my wife, who is left-handed, can also use it comfortably with just making a few adjustments. This is because of the ambidextrous shoulder strap system that is built into the pack. This is a big plus because no matter who uses it, it will be comfortable for them. Just in case you have a long hike in front of you and during any type of bug out situation, you can expect a couple mile walk. The bag contains more than enough interior pouches to handle any of the equipment I had. And trust me, I loaded it up with my equipment and it was able to store everything I needed, plus some. I especially like the idea of the keychain fobs. This is an excellent way to store zip drives or an extra set of car keys that would be required during a home evacuation. I even found a pocket that 511 Tactical explains to be a comm pocket for radios with a pass-through for the microphone and the earbud. But I found it to be very useful to hold my cell phone and my MP3 player I was able to hike while enjoying my music playing in my ears. Now, I don't recommend that you listen to the MP3 player during any emergency. But during your downtime, it'd be a great way to be able to listen to some music and still be within an arm's reach of your equipment. A new item I noticed was that the Moab 10 had a pocket for a water pack with slots built into the bag for the water spout. Now, this idea gives it a lot of extra points in my book. This eliminates the need for canteens on the belt or attached to the backpack and places the weight of the water squarely on your back and shoulders, where it can be evenly distributed. As we all know, anything to equal out the weight is invaluable. In order to check the Moab 10's durability during a field test, I gave the bag to the person in my group who was the roughest on all equipment that we had, Ezra, my 5-year-old grandson. He dragged it, threw it around, and even used it as a seat. The good news here is that it survived. All I had to do was clean it up and remove all the pine cones and spent cartridges that we found everywhere on the ground out of the bag, and it was ready to be put back in service. If a 5-year-old can spend over an hour with the bag and it's not able to damage it, I believe it'd stand up to any type of disaster and still be usable. The only complaint I did find with the bag is the size of the web system on the outside of the bag. Now, the system is standard about 2 inches for each of the slots, with only one or two of the hooks being a little bit larger. Now, this size will accommodate most standard straps and equipment latches. I have a lot of pouches that are wider than the 2 inches, and that's because of my old correctional days. So, besides that, the web system was great. However, my military pouches and bags fit on the web system nicely. Overall, the versatility of the bag was one of the most impressive items I've seen in a while. Not only can you use the bag for a day trip with the family and be able to store all the necessary equipment you would need, but the bag can be used for a go bag and still have all the equipment in it that you'll need to survive a 3-day trek. Plus, another item of this bag, versatility, was that it can be opened and used while still slung over your shoulder, just 3 inches in front of you. This way you can still retrieve your food items from the bag while still over your shoulder and you keep on trekking without skipping a beat. Once all the testing was complete, I placed the Moab 10 bag into service as my family's go bag for the car. It contains all my emergency maps, zip and external hard drives, extra set of car keys, emergency radio, 5 solar blankets, emergency rations for 3 people, the water pack is full with extra water, N95 masks, pens, writing tablets, and a few bags of jerky and candy for myself. The outside of the bag has attached to it a med kit, buck knife, flashlight, and a fire starter kit. The Moab 10, which stands for Mobile Operation Attachment Bag, is a great deal for $99.99 and can serve as a versatile emergency go bag and a family day pack. I know for myself, it'll see a lot of miles and it will be attached to my backpack the next emergency I have to respond to. For more information on this review and a link to purchase the item, visit us at csp.hesafety.org. I want to take this opportunity to announce that Arizona is going to have its first annual Survivalist Show. On May 19th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show will be held at the Commemorative Air Force Museum in Mesa, Arizona, in Falcon Field. All proceeds will go to the nonprofit museum. The show is open to anyone interested in the prepper movement that is sweeping across the United States. Come out and buy some items from many of Arizona's vendors. Visit with experts. Meet other like-minded citizens that are equally interested in helping protect themselves and their families from any unexpected event. This unique one-day show is a must-attend event for the entire family. Not only do you get the experience of the first annual Arizona Survivalist Show, but you will also see Arizona's premier working vintage aircraft. Vendors will be displaying and selling the following: freeze-dried foods, MREs, ideas on food availability at any grocery store, canned equipment and supplies, storage options, water barrels, food-grade buckets, military surplus equipment, clothing, camping equipment, survival garden seed supplies, ideas, bug-out bags, suggestions and supplies, solar ovens, solar kits, and solar ideas. There will also be educational seminars, books, manuals, and literature, emergency medical equipment and first aid supplies, fuel storage and battery supplies, and ideas, propane cooking equipment, utensils, etc., water filtration equipment and supplies, plus many other items of interest. Common Sense Preparedness Digital Radio Talk Show will be recording a broadcast while the event is on, and we will be conducting interviews with people for the show. Come join us for a guaranteed fun time. Admission to the event is $10 per adult and $5 per child at the door. And the children under 5, they're free of charge. For more information, please contact Lance Baker at 480-229-5691. Once again, that number is 480-229-5691. Or email him at lancebaker1964@gmail.com. Once again, that's lancebaker1964@gmail.com.
This portion of Common Sense Preparedness is being sponsored by Rocky Mountain Survival Gear, your complete source for all things camping and prepping. They recognize the need of many people in the United States struggling to put together survival packs, not knowing where to start or what they need. So Rocky Mountain Survival Gear will be offering customized bug out bags, emergency kits, and 72-hour bags to fit your specific needs. All you need to do is click on the items you need, and they'll put it together for you. Remember, once a disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. So prepare now for the future with Rocky Mountain Survival Gear. Contact them at www.rockymountainsurvivalgear.com or give them a call at 720-244-9701. Once again, that's 720-244-9701.
Thank you for tuning in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness and American Readiness Program. You may be found at the web at csp.hesafety.org. Remember, a wise man prepares for the darkness while a fool plays. Don't get caught playing. Tune in to HE Safety's Common Sense Preparedness.
In both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao, me, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Teach lessons to your daughters and sons. To fear the government, to fear your guns. Now the new world order crew, well, they're making their demands. Don't feel safe if you are wrong. You take on control is using both hands.
is using both hands.